The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. True crime doesn't always live in dark alleyways or abandoned warehouses. Sometimes it hides beneath towering redwoods, along quiet mountain switchbacks, and inside landscapes that millions of us go to for peace. America's national parks are marketed as places of escape and beauty, but they're also places where people have vanished, been hunted, and lost forever. In Murder on the Trail, Mysteries, Deaths, and Disappearances in National Parks, best-selling author Michelle Kaminsky pulls back the curtain on crimes that unfolded in some of the most breathtaking corners of the country. From Yosemite and the Grand Canyon to the Smoky Mountains and beyond. Her work dives deep into cases like the Yosemite Park killer Carrie Stainer, the National Forest killer Gary Michael Hilton, and the haunting van life case of Gabby Petito. Not just to shock, but to understand. To understand why these places become hunting grounds, how isolation becomes a weapon, and how federal land creates a legal maze that can make justice harder to reach. Michelle writes with a journalist's rigor and a survivor's empathy, and her research doesn't just catalog tragedy. It explores what these places reveal about us, our fascination with danger, our search for solitude, and the thin line between wilderness and disappearance. Today, she joins me to talk about the beauty, the horror, and the truth behind the trails. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on The Last Trip.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Murder on the Trail. When did you start researching? Which cases are the best? Kind of give us the lowdown.
I started researching, I guess, about a year before I started actually writing the book. The publisher prepared some of a list for me to use, and then I was kind of tasked with filling in the holes. So we knew we wanted to cover Carrie Stainer, the Yosemite killer, Gary Michael Hilton, the National Forest serial killer, Tony Henthorne, who died in Rocky Mountain National Park. And then I was really interested in bringing in some of the stories in national parks that happened earlier. So even Bessie and Glenn Hyde, who went missing in the Grand Canyon had just become a national park in the 1920s. So that was the earliest one I ended up covering. And then just filling in gaps. And that's when I set up the book, I wanted to do it chronologically, because I think there was a very interesting, there were bookends to these stories, because you had on the one end, the honeymooning couple of Bessie and Glenn Hyde early on when there was very little technology, even the boats were, when you read about the kind of boat they were on, it's kind of terrifying. And then at the other end, we have the most recent case that's in the book, which is Gabby Petito. So I wanted to kind of trace that journey through national parks and mysteries and disappearances and unfortunate tragedies that happened there.
Why national parks? Why the subject? What made you interested in doing it in the first place?
Yeah, I think there's something really gripping about the setting of a national park where people go, it's beautiful, it's calming, it's peaceful. People go there to relax and take in nature, and these horrible tragedies or disappearances, or in some cases there's murders. It's just that juxtaposition of having this beautiful scene mixed with this risk and danger. I think it just really draws people in. I think you're so vulnerable in an isolated location like that. When I was working on the book and I would tell people what I was working on, everyone that responded, they were very, that's really interesting. I think there's just something about kind of that mix of overwhelming beauty and kind of this terror that goes with it.
Of all the cases in your book, can you fill us in on, I want to say your favorite, but the one that you found the most interesting or the most mysterious or the most something?
I think so. It's a weird kind of characterization. Like you're saying, it's hard to say a favorite or something like that. But I think if you talk about emotionally, there was one particular case that really I got invested in. I mean, they're all emotional writing about them, obviously. These are real people, real lives, real families. But the Dennis Lloyd Martin case, which happened in 1969, that one really hit me. And I think it's because I'm a mom, and he was a little boy who went missing on a Father's Day camping trip with his family. It was in the Great Smoky Mountains. It was just a normal day. He ran off to play this kind of practical joke on the adults that he was camping with, and he just vanished. And he was never seen again, no trace of him. It's a parent's worst nightmare. There's nothing worse you can imagine than turning around, your kid not being there. And his dad looked for him immediately. Like 5 minutes, he noticed that he was gone, and they were looking, and they never found him, or even a trace of him, which is, you know, for people who have been around true crime a lot, you know that that's, I guess it's not, it never happens, but it's pretty uncommon that you don't find any trace. And I think the Dennis Martin case is one of the lesser known national park cases. And for me, Michael Bouchard's book, The Disappearance of Dennis Lloyd Martin, was super, super helpful. He did an amazing job of putting together FBI files and primary sources. It was a really great resource for me. But just knowing that his family lived for decades, for the rest of their lives, without any kind of news or, you know, just unanswered questions, that's pretty heartbreaking.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
While you were doing your research, were there any surprises or any ways mystery unfolded and you were shocked or anything you kind of found out along the way?
Several cases, I think, had really kind of long investigative trails that the twists and turns were all over the place. I think Tony and Harold Hanthorne's case, I was sort of familiar with that going in, so that wasn't necessarily surprising during the research. But if anyone doesn't know about that case, that takes some major twists and turns. I knew less about the Gary Michael Hilton case. I knew that he was linked with different murders across the southeastern U.S., and it's very disturbing that he kind of maneuvered through the southeastern U.S. just seamlessly and literally leaving a trail of murder behind him. But there were some things about him that I didn't know. I didn't realize that he says he only started killing at age 60, which for those of us who have been around true crime a little bit, that's not usually the way it happens. And in fact, some people do believe that that is not true and that there may be far more victims out there. So that's terrifying. And the other thing, he had a dog that he traveled with. He had this adorable dog. And that image of seeing, just imagining Meredith Emerson, who went missing in Georgia. She was hiking with her dog. There's just something so terrifying about imagining her on this trail with her dog. And she sees a guy with a dog and he's trying to make friends with her. And it's New Year's Day and there's this whole promise of the new year. And just knowing that he used his dog in that way is just so disturbing. I'm a dog person. And so you can absolutely see how you'd be like, oh, you know, this cute dog. And it's just then when they started linking him to other crimes and it was like one after the other. And then you see the other ones that are out there that potentially he's linked to. That was a twisty, churny one that kind of surprised me.
he really gets me with the dog. And in that same realm, he chose the national parks and remote wilderness spaces like everybody in your book. Why do you think predators are drawn to these kind of places?
I think it's interesting. For the most part, I don't think they actually are. Statistically speaking, you're safe in national parks. This doesn't happen that often. These cases are truly the exceptions to the rule. And that's why I think that's what makes them so terrifying in many ways. There's no doubt, though, that once if you have someone who's looking to commit some sort of violent crime, there's no doubt that using the isolation, the lack of cell phone service, the difficulty in tracking people through a place like a national park or a national forest, it's next to impossible to track comings and goings. They do it. Now it's much more easy than it was when a lot of these happened. That is one thing which I think I'll add here is just writing this book, my intention was certainly not to discourage people from going to national parks because they're dangerous. They're very safe places. I want to be clear, statistically speaking, the National Park Service site does say they are mostly safe, and that is absolutely true. There's not a lot of violent crime happening there. I think that's what makes these stories particularly disturbing.
With the predators that you researched, were there any commonalities between any of them?
Within the book, predator, you really only had, I mean, most of the book is truly disappearances and just kind of unexplained things. You had Cary Stainer in Yosemite. He's such a unique case. His childhood was such a big part of his story. And if you want to talk twists and turns, that's another one. I'm not sure that there's a lot of commonalities between, I mean, Gary Michael Hilton, he basically seemed to be mostly killing for robbery purposes. Like he was trying to like get money. And there was an interview with him not too long ago. I think it was on Oxygen. I mentioned it in the book, but he ran out of money and he like needed to get money. And so that was not where Cary Stainer was coming from at all. He was kind of a more of that stereotypical laying in wait, sort of waiting on a victim. But yeah, like you said, though, I think the isolation certainly enabled them to carry out their heinous acts.
Like you mentioned, we don't want to bash on national parks or wilderness at all. It's probably safer than most cities. And we know crime happens everywhere, every corner of the world. There's no place to get away from it. What are some of your favorite locations to visit?
Well, it's funny. The places that I wrote about in this book, I haven't traveled to them since writing the book. And I think I'm like drawn to those places particularly. And I think it's not in a morbid way. It's truly in a way of kind of acknowledging what happened and recognizing and appreciating kind of this, telling these people's stories, I think has been very rewarding for me. I certainly didn't know these stories as in depth as I do now. And just not forgetting what's happened to them, I think it's really important. They are exceptions to the rule, but it's also part of our national history too. It's all part of the fabric of society. And that was something that I tried in the chapters to build into where I could, with each particular situation giving a bigger landscape of what was happening in society, the context, because I think it's really important to understand. Like, I don't think you can understand a case like the Shenandoah murders without understanding what was happening in the country at the time, in the world at the time. And so I think that was something that was really important to me to put in the book. And I think that that kind of drew me closer to the human stories and really wanting to go to those places. There's a part in Catherine Miles' book, Trailed, which is about the Shenandoah murders. And she talks about this memorial site of these colored rocks that are placed in the shape of a peace sign. And that image has stayed with me in writing it. And it really connects you to those places. And I think that would be really cool to be able to go there and pay your respects.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Were there any commonalities between all of the victims in your stories, the people who went missing, the people who were murdered, the unexplained disappearances? Were there any commonalities in them? Were they all alone? Were they all female? Were there any mistakes they made?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it's pretty disturbing to say not really. They really spanned everything. You had, you know, one was a little boy. Randy Morganson was a National Park Service ranger, and he was legendary. He's one of the best rangers the service had ever seen. So it goes from one extreme to the other of this little boy who wouldn't know how to survive in the wilderness to this grown man who spent most of his life in the wilderness. And then Meredith Emerson, people say she was a very accomplished hiker. And actually, Gary Holton, another woman that he murdered, Cheryl Dunlap, people commented basically how safe she always was. Like, she wasn't a woman who took risks. She was very conscious of her surroundings. It's one of the most disturbing things about reading something like this is that you realize how much just bad luck, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, how much that can just change the course of events. I think the one exception to that is the German family who went missing in Death Valley. I think it's well documented that they made kind of a series of choices that led them to be stranded. But at the same time, I mean, I have complete compassion for that. I don't know how rationally I would be thinking, or like, I think they made actually very rational choices based on the information they had. It just ended up being not great. But yeah, I think that it's important to recognize that bad things can happen. And like you said before, bad things can happen in cities, bad things can happen anywhere. And it's kind of like if you cross your path with someone who doesn't have good intentions. The stories of Meredith Emerson, like fighting him off and not telling him the correct pin for days. I mean, she was doing everything she could.
On the last trip, I always tell people not to hike alone. It's just mm-hmm. the number one rule. And look, I've done it. I've done it in many countries. I've done it all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm like, okay, I'm glad nothing terrible happened. And it's not just mm-hmm. predators or animals. What would be your number one safety rule?
I think that's definitely a good one. And I think just, I'm not a travel expert by any means, but I think something that I always do is I like to let people know where I'm going to be, how long I'm going to be there. So if something goes wrong, someone knows that something is off as quickly as possible. I think that's probably the best thing.
And now that you've researched so many of these cases, With the disappearances and the unexplained vanishings of people, oftentimes we hear like, oh, maybe it was an animal. There's bears in the area. There's mountain lions or whatever. Now, I have a tendency to shy away from that because I think that animals always leave a trace. What are your thoughts about animal attacks?
I'm on your wavelength with that. I think that animals are not trying to cover up what they've done. So they're not as crafty at hiding, you know, whether it's articles of clothing or I do think there tends to be. If there's no trace, it's probably likely there's been some sort of foul play. Or if it's some situation where someone could have fallen so deep into a ravine that their body wouldn't resurface or something like that. Because that, I mean, with Glenn and Bessie Hyde, no trace of them was ever found. But I think it's kind of assumed that when they went under the water in the Grand Canyon, there's a various series of events that kind of explain why their bodies would never resurface. But that was also in the 1920s. So in far less frequented areas that they were in then. So I think in this day and age, I'm with you. I think that animals are not, they usually leave something behind. That would make sense to me.
A lot of times there's mystery behind all of these cases. But I feel like sometimes after you do the research, it is almost obvious, like they probably fell somewhere and they're underneath something and that's why we can't find them. Or, you know, it's just a simple accident rather than a predator or an animal attack or a UFO or whatever the mystery behind it is.
Right.
Do you feel the same way with a lot of these?
I do. I think it's almost impossible not to come away from cases that you've researched this much in depth with kind of your version of what you think happened or what was most likely. If you don't, you probably haven't done a great job at the research. If you don't come away with at least some theory, which isn't to say you're correct, but I think having a point of view is kind of part of, and I think it's why so many people are drawn to true crime. It's to look at some of these cases and see what you believe. Like, where are these things taking you and what's your theory of the case? People obviously love a mystery. If you're into true crime, you want to be in there, finding clues, putting things together, and coming up with your own explanation.
I think a lot of times the family wants to hold out hope so much that they want to see more mystery than there is. Somebody kidnapped them. They're here somewhere. We'll just have to find them rather than they're underground or they did drown or, you know, something along those lines.
I think that's fair. And I've fortunately never been in the position where I've had a loved one gone missing in that way. I can't imagine what that would feel like and how I can very much imagine that I would want to be holding on to any kind of theory, possibility that they're still alive.
Also along those lines, how do you balance telling these stories and still being able to honor victims and their families? I know it's a fine line.
Yeah, I think that that's the important part is remembering that they're real people and real families, real loved ones. They're not stories just to be told around the campfire that are, you know, sensationalized just for the drama involved in it. I think true crime, there's a fine line. And I think that there's a huge responsibility for true crime content creators to respect the humanity behind the stories. It's far too easy to focus on the really sensationalized parts of stories. And we've all been exposed to media enough in our lives to know that certain things sell and certain things will become the focus of investigations based on other considerations beyond the case itself. So, yeah, I think it's super important just to keep the victims and their families in mind.
Were you able to speak to any of the families of the stories that you covered? I know some were quite a while back, but any of the more recent ones?
No, I did not. I honestly didn't want to kind of open any sort of wounds. I was definitely working from mostly primary sources is my preference. I really love getting into news reports from the time, newspapers, which is an interesting exercise in compiling research, as I'm sure you know, because there's often a lot of conflicting information. So you can have a source that says this, and then you have a newspaper in another location the next day who says something different. So then you're trying to figure out which of those is correct, or maybe neither of them are. It takes a lot of time, I think, to weed out what's correct. But yeah, that's my favorite part of producing the book, is really digging into that research and finding out what was happening at the time. And like I said, like just kind of the context of the time period, I think you need to look beyond that case itself just for kind of what else is happening and what else might be influencing what's going on. Because a lot of decisions get made external to the particular case involved. So I think that's important to look for too.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
What was your goal in writing this book? Was it to solve these crimes? Was it to, you know, honor the victims? Was it to talk about the places, or a combination?
Yeah, I think all of those things. I think it was really important to me. The setting was really important to me. And I think that comes across when you're reading the book. I think really putting the reader in the place where these things happened was a definite priority. And of course, telling the stories in the most, or at least I tried to do it in the most compassionate way that was not sensationalized. I mean, as I'm sure people who know these stories, there are definitely details in some of them that I did not include in the book purposely, just didn't feel that it was necessary. Some of them were gruesome. To a point, you have to include, you know, factual things, but I think there's a point where it's just gratuitous and you don't need it. I think telling these stories, and especially some of the older ones too, that people don't know as much about, that was one of the things that I wanted to focus on in compiling this broad overview over the course of a century in national parks. So yeah, I think all of those things.
In doing the research for the places, were there any that you hadn't been to that you're ready to go visit, or any that you got a deeper meaning for? Or anything you learned about any of these places? What was your favorite place that you researched?
I really have not spent much time out west. I'm from the East Coast. And so that's basically writing this. It's like, okay, I need to do a cross-country trip to visit these national parks. My kid keeps telling me she wants to see the Redwoods. So I think that will probably be high on the list. That wasn't one of the ones covered in the book, but yeah, I think it's hard not to, it was hard researching this. It would be hard not to have this kind of burning desire to go experience these places. It's that weird thing of like, yes, all of these terrible things happened here, but there's still some draw to experiencing it firsthand and just an appreciation of nature generally. It's not even limited to national parks, but, you know, trails around me, just being out in nature.
If you do go visit these places, is there anything that you're going to be doing differently when you visit?
Yeah, I think I'm sure you can relate to this. True crime people generally, you always kind of have a mental checklist. You can't even control it. It's not even a panicky way. It's just truly being aware of your surroundings. So I don't know that there's necessarily anything different. I think that the big thing that would influence these particular places that I've written about would just kind of be that feeling of feeling a little bit connected to these stories in a way that just brings you closer to these people's lives when they were alive. I don't think like travel tips wise, I'm not sure that there's much, because I think that I'm probably a pretty conscientious traveler just by nature.
You covered a lot of cases in this first book. Are you planning on a volume 2, volume 3? Do you have anything in the works?
That's a great question. I don't have a volume in the works, no. There are certainly more cases that did not make this book, so there could be, but I don't have that in the works yet.
For listeners who do want to dive a little deeper into these stories, where can they find Murder on the Trail?
It's sold anywhere books are sold, so you can go anywhere you want. I also have a list on my website, which is michellekaminsky.com. I have a list of some links where you can buy it, but if you have a favorite indie bookstore, feel free to go ask them if they will order it. That would be amazing. And also, I will mention, I'm on social media, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, LinkedIn, which is all at Mish Kaminsky, M-I-C-H, and then my last name, Kaminsky, K-A-M-I-N-S-K-Y. And if you do, I really love, and I think all authors love this, but I especially love it, if you see my book out in the wild anywhere, take a picture and tag me. I really think it's cool just to see kind of where it's landed. Even if you're reading it and you want to take a picture of it, tag me. I'll share it in the story or in my story or whatever, because I think it's really cool. It's just really fun.
That sounds fun. And if people want to reach out to you, they have a case in mind or, you know, want to chat with you, can they DM you on Instagram? Is that a thing?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Do you have any signings, events, appearances coming up that you can tell us about?
Yeah, so I don't have anything set right now. I'm aiming to do a signing at my local Barnes & Noble. My local Barnes & Noble would be in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. That I'm looking for this spring sometime. So when and or if and when, I guess, I have information on that, I would put it on my on social media. I would certainly announce it, publicize it on the website as well.
Well, we will definitely all follow you. And what was your Instagram one more time?
It's at Mish Kaminsky, M-I-C-H-K-A-M-I-N-S-K-Y.
And before we let you go, after everything that you've researched, the disappearances, the predators, the violence, the beauty, the wilderness, what do you hope readers feel when they finish your book? What do you want the takeaway to be?
I really hope that readers feel connected to these stories and to the victims and the families and the stories in ways that they get really invested in the humanity of the stories. I think that kind of connection with nature also hopefully is something that comes through in the book. I mean, it's, again, it's despite these things that have happened. And I do hope that readers come away with kind of a deeper appreciation of nature, national parks, of course, nature generally. And I hope it kind of makes them curious. With these cases, for sure, there's a bibliography in the back of the book that has all the sources in that I used. I hope that people will check it out. There's some really great resources, books that people have written about some of these cases, which go way more in depth, obviously, than I could in each specific chapter. And they're all very worth a read. If they're in my bibliography, I highly recommend them. And yeah, I hope that people just feel that they know more and they feel more connected with the cases that I wrote about.
I think they'll also feel like they want a volume 2, volume 3, volume 4. I mean, it's an interesting subject matter, so Hopefully you'll continue on with it.
And I'll pass it along to my publisher and we'll have a chat.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show and for bringing these cases to light and sharing them with people who do or don't know about the cases. They can learn more.
Thank you for having me. This was great. Thanks so much.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Murder on the Trail isn't just a true crime book. It's a reminder that real people lived these stories and that the most beautiful places in the world can still hold unresolved pain, mystery, and meaning. If today's conversation stayed with you, I really encourage you to pick up her book. It's beautifully researched, deeply respectful, and honestly, hard to put down. You'll see familiar places in a completely new way. You can find Murder on the Trail, Mysteries, Deaths, and Disappearances in National Parks anywhere you buy books. And I'll have all of Michelle's links waiting for you in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, for caring about these stories, and for always traveling with me, wherever these journeys take us. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/The Last Trip Podcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Menards' 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pro's number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.